Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you all for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. We have a great show today. The theme today is how we can create so much better wellness in our lives, featuring my esteemed guest today, psychologist and author, Dr. Teresa Nicasio. After being confronted with significant health challenges, Dr. Teresa became an energy healing practitioner as well as a gourmet raw food nutritional educator. So she has a whole lot of knowledge for sure to share with us today. Teresa is the author of Yum, that's Y-U-M, plant-based recipes for a gluten-free diet. She is here to share tips and tools for the heart-healthy, anti-cancer, and diabetic-friendly eating. Teresa, wonderful to have you.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Nicola. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, I love your message. And health and well-being, of course, is the ability to empower our lives is the center of this show. And I know that, Teresa, we as a species of human beings, we thrive on rewards. And pleasure is a very motivational thing for us. Whereas in our minds, deprivation, on the other hand, it just sucks. It feels like lack, and especially in Western societies, you know, abundance is the buzzword. You know, I can really feel depressing and depriving for us to give up things that we love. And when it comes to the primal need of sustenance, there's so much reward, of course, nature's way of keeping us alive and well, survival, that eating brings. And we can really struggle between the idea of what is yummy and what is healthy. And I find what's really unfortunate is healthy food and yummy food are not stereotypically in the same sentence. It's like yummy food is not healthy food, and that's how we've kind of been conditioned to think and have these negative associations. So, Teresa, tell me, how do we get or stay healthy and honor the body, the mind, the spirit, and still eat and enjoy yummy food?
Yeah, great question, Nicola. And one of the things I love about your show is this integrative aspect of it's the heart, it's the mind, it's the body, it's the soul, because we have to actually look at all of these. And when we try to separate out parts of ourselves, whether it's thinking, okay, I'm going to feel better if I can just change how I think. Well, yes, changing how we think can be good,
right.
But if someone gives you a piece of cardboard and you eat it and you go, this is really yummy, you're lying to yourself. Every cell of your body knows that this is not true. So it's like finding that combination of let's find things that truly are yummy but that are also healthy and can connect us with the kind of even that spiritual and relational associations that we have with food and life and our connections with other people we love. So
I agree.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that I find that, and I agree with you, because I mean I'm a total advocate for healthy living, and I love it, and it's yummy and tasty to me. But again, I do find that the mindset, so many times people say, I enjoy my food, and I'm not. Again, the incredibly negative association that I find that healthy eating gets. So even when we're saying, you know, you can enjoy it, how do we get around just even that kind of conditioning or that because of, again, that's a stereotype that's often there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think oftentimes the easiest way is when you're tricked and you don't realize that something's healthy and you just have it and it looks delicious and it tastes delicious and you're like, what is this? How did you make that? That's like the easiest way to get in. And the more times people have that experience of something that is really, really yummy and then they later find out, oh, this is made with it just has no gluten, this has no butter, this has no sugar, this has no dairy, this has, you know, and it's still, and it has, yeah, it has no regular sugar. How can this be so yummy? And so then it starts to feed into the curiosity of someone, which, and curiosity is one of the keys to help people start to open their minds. So this is really an exciting part of Yum, is you know, awakening this curiosity through beauty and deliciousness, and then people's you know, will start to shift their thinking because they'll have that experience of something that really is fantastic, and they don't have to miss out. They don't have to deprive themselves or lose like they think that they would have to by eating healthy food.
Well, I mean, I think that again, I mean, the name of your book, the whole concept is just really trying to break through those kind of stereotypes and the stigmatization around healthy eating. So what led you to, I mean, write the whole Yum book and come up with a whole kind of Yum concept?
Yeah, great. Yeah, again, it's kind of funny because I'm about as surprised, if not the most surprised as anyone, because I didn't even used to like to cook, because cooking takes time. I'm a busy person, and so it's really quite amazing that now my mindset has been so shifted where I'm excited about cooking. I'm excited about creating possibilities for people. And because it came out of, as you mentioned in the intro, I became really, really sick. I couldn't even walk. I would get out of bed. I could barely stand up. I could not even walk to the bathroom. I would have to slide my feet slowly, shuffling, to get to the washroom. I was that debilitated, Nicola.
How long did you suffer like that?
So it had become progressively worse, and it took over, I was very, very debilitated for over 12 years before it's huge. So when you suffer, and you, it's amazing what you can change in your mindset when you decide to choose life, and you have family, and you love people, and you want to stay at the party. I didn't know I'd be alive now, Nicola. I didn't know that I would just pray that I could be alive to be here for my oldest daughter to graduate high school. And she just graduated here at the same time my book is coming out. It makes me want to cry. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, but, congratulations on the transformation and success. Go ahead, what were you saying?
Yeah, so basically what happened was I became sick, and then when I did finally figure out what was wrong, that it was gluten and other food sensitivities that actually were underlying it. You know, a lot of people who have food sensitivities, many people don't even know they have food sensitivities, like I didn't. And then I went through this whole elimination diet process, which meant taking out all the food that typically we eat with. And I was left with, you know, things like carrot sticks and you know, very simple food that was not very exciting. And because of that, I started to get really frustrated because I felt like I was living in more of a deprivation world. And I would say, you know what? There's got to be a better way. There's got to be food that's delicious that I can make even if I can't eat certain kinds of foods. And so I first was looking for other people's, I was trying to find books and recipes. And to be quite honest, I didn't find much that really was good. It's getting better, for sure, out there, a lot better. But there wasn't much out there. So I realized at a certain point that I had to start to create myself. And being a scientist, you know, by heart, I came from that world. I was going to be an engineer before. I ended up delving into learning about food science. I became a gourmet raw food chef. Those raw foodies, they've got all kinds of tricks up their sleeves. I'm not a raw foodie. I eat a lot of raw food. But I was looking for every resource for how to play with food and texture and taste. And that was really how the recipe started. And when we would feed it to friends or other people who had elimination diets, they would be so frustrated. I'd say, oh, I've got a great recipe for you. I've just put this together. And people started getting blown away. And that's why the book was born, because of wanting to pull together recipes that I could eat and could share with other people.
Well, one, I applaud that your incredible recovery, and I guess and then the transformation in your own life, and then leading to enabling others, which I a favorite theme here and that I see as so empowering and so encouraging for others going through difficult times. I'd like to talk a little bit more because I think that about the highlight of this, not that it was highlight of your life, but of this, those 12 years, because I think, how did you come to know that it was a food? Because you're suffering for so long, obviously you must have been looking for help and trying to go to people, and what was your diagnosis? How did you come to understand that it was food-related allergies? I think it's really powerful that your message, because when people are struggling and they might not at all understand the degree to how debilitating and the extent of the debilitation in the life from sensitivities and allergies to food, what mm-hmm. you're describing.
Yeah, no, it's big, Nicola, and I think more and more people are discovering it, and the research is starting to come in. It's pretty much mind-blowing. And so I was a canary in the coal mine. We talk about diagnosis. I had lots of diagnoses. You want diagnoses? You can start with asthma. You can start with irritable bowel syndrome. You can start with migraine headaches. You can start with inner ear tinnitus and vertigo. You name it, I had just about every diagnosis, because there was all these little pieces. And in the, you know, when you go to see physicians and healthcare professionals, they really want to help you, and they're listening for certain symptoms based on what they, kind of the model that they think about. So I had a bag of medications because I could barely breathe. I had chronic pneumonia. Bronchitis. I had, my tonsils were swollen nonstop for over 7 or 8 years. So I was all puffed. I talked about, I was kind of a big infectious blob. That was my diagnosis now. But basically, how did I come to it? I went to all these doctors, regular physicians, and just about every complementary, non-conventional doctors I could. Went to all these supplements I tried, and different things. And some things actually helped a little bit, where my symptoms would be a little bit less. But you know, it never really got to it. And so what finally did, there was someone told me about Natasha Turner's book. She's a naturopath, and she wrote a wonderful book called The Hormone Diet. She's written actually quite a few books, but I got my hands on The Hormone Diet. It was right after it came out, and someone was saying, this book is so good. They were talking about it for themselves. And I was reading this book, and there was a lot of self-assessment. And part of it, she had a really, really simple elimination diet. And it was about a 2-week where you take out gluten, dairy, all the usual suspects, right? Soy, corn, but just the regular things. But it was it wasn't like a crazy diet, but I appreciated that. So what happened was, I went off of this for, and maybe it was 3-4 weeks. So I went on this diet where it was supposed to help make it easy on your liver so that you could go through and then go back, and then you reintroduce foods after you do this and you see what happens to your body. But what happened was, after those 3-4 weeks, my migraines went away. I lived with migraines my entire life. When I was a little child, I would hit my head with objects. My mom would say, don't do that. I'm like, my head would just hurt so bad. And I had ever since then, always worse around my periods. And they were totally gone. And my energy was up. And I had less brain fog. Oh, yeah, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. You can throw those in with the diagnoses, too, just for fun. But anyway, my symptoms, I wish I could say they all went away. They didn't. But the edge was taken off, and the headaches were totally gone, and the IBS kinds of symptoms, gone. I was blown away. So that was how I figured out, because then I reintroduced the food. And I was unfortunately sloppy in the reintroduction the first 2 times I did this. But when I finally did it correctly, because I think I didn't really want to know what I needed to exclude because of that deprivation and fear. But anyway, when I did it right, and then it became clear about which foods I would, you know, then reintroduce a food, and then for the next 2 or 3 days, I'd see what happened to my energy, bloating, burping, all those kinds of symptoms, headaches, and then the information was shown to me. It was fantastic.
Well, congratulations again, and because of the ability to empower yourself. I mean, this is something that has been featured in with different people on the show, how much changing their diet has, you know, eradicated health problems or diagnosis of health problems. And so I think it's an extremely important message because it's something that we have so much power over and
yes.
may not understand. And I think it's really hard sometimes for people to even grasp how something so, like, how foods can affect your body so much, and the levels of sensitivities and allergies can really, again, be so destructive to just simple foods. So can you tell us, Teresa, what foods in particular because, you know, when you say the regular ones, but not all the listeners would be aware of, what are foods that typically might be what people are sensitive to or create allergens?
I bleeped out there for a minute. Are you there still?
Yes, I'm totally here.
Oh, that was wild. Okay, yeah. So you were basically, what I got the first part, I think, was what are some of the most common suspects for, because not everybody does know about that.
Yeah, no.
So most people know about the three biggies, which are gluten, dairy, and sugar. But in addition, there's potatoes are a huge one. If I eat potatoes, I not only get arthritic for about 10 days, and my tummy gets all bloated, and it's ugly for me and anyone else around. But I also become arthritic. The next day I wake up and I can barely move my hands, and that lasts for about 10 days. So there's potatoes. There's other nightshades. Nightshades are foods like, in addition to potatoes, eggplant, tomatoes, peppers. People don't even know sometimes things like goji berries and tomatillos and Inca berries or Cape gooseberries. So there's a few others that are thrown in there. So nightshades are one that, again, oftentimes gets overlooked. It's a biggie for a lot of people. Some others are soy. Some people are sensitive to soy, don't know it. Corn and citrus. Citrus is one that a lot of people seem to have some issues with. Some people even have some strange reactions to caffeine, or there seem to be more and more people who seem to have some issues with carbohydrates in general, whether it's grains or beans and that sort of thing. So we're all different. This is the great news, is we're all different. It's the great news, and it's also the challenging news. There's no one size fits all.
So how do people learn they have these sensitivities? Because, I mean, taking an allergy test is not the same thing as having sensitivities. They're different, and maybe you can also talk a little bit about the difference between sensitivities and allergies.
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that. So there's actually three things. There's autoimmune reactions such as celiac disease, where that's about 1% of the population cannot have any exposure to gluten whatsoever. So a lot of people say, oh, those are the only people with gluten problems. Well, there's a lot of people with non-celiac sensitivities. Now, sensitivities, and it's not just with gluten, it can be with, like I said, any of these foods. I can't eat fennel. I mean, I'm very allergic to fennel. There's lots of reasons why we can have sensitivities. Basically, with the sensitivities, you can have the exact same symptoms as something like celiac disease, you know, with the neurological problems, with the with the joint inflammation, with the digestive issues, with the brain fog, all kinds of things. But there's the autoimmune problems, there's the sensitivities, and then there's the allergies. Allergies, again, it's another autoimmune issue. And that you can get tested for allergies. You can have blood tests done. You can get skin tests done. And so it's great because those are the easy-peasy ones. You can just go to your naturopath, your physician, and they can do this testing. But just because you are not allergic to something, and just because you didn't come up positive for the celiac disease, that immune issue, that does not necessarily mean that you don't have food sensitivities, and that is what most people are not aware of. Information is coming out now more, but this is a huge population. The researchers are trying to figure out what is going on, whether it has to do with, you know, GMO foods, whether it has to do with other chemicals that are used, whether it has to do with pesticides. Right now, basically, no one knows, but for whatever reason, it's out there, and it's affecting our health in big ways.
And it's definitely on the rise. I mean, I totally understand food sensitivities and the difference because, and I also think that sometimes, you know, like in combinations can also be impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, two combinations of things can really weaken you so thank you for that distinction because I think it's really, really important because a person might go, I don't have that allergy. And I'm still suffering, and not understand. Like, hey, it won't show up in a test like that. And
mm-hmm.
and again, you'd have to go through this kind of cleansing and then testing process to figure out how you're reacting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I guess the one thing I'll add to that, Nicola, is that many people think that you know, heartburn and bloating and burping and, you know, other gaseous admissions, that these are just a normal part of life, and some of them are, but the amount of these sorts of things and headaches, they may not be all just natural. It may be something that people have control of and they don't even realize they have control of it.
I love that message. So for someone who is having some of these health problems, they're not getting the results that they seek, what do you say to them?
So
where do
first,
they start, basically?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important that they first have, you know, work with physicians, work with their healthcare professionals or the healthcare professional team. I use a lot of different healthcare professionals, conventional and unconventional, and rule out, you know, you want to make sure there's nothing else going on that needs to be addressed. If there's no other reasons that they can figure out, you know, there's no other underlying serious health condition, then, and it's actually a good idea if you can get allergy tested as well as get the test for celiac disease if you can while you're still busy eating gluten because you have to eat it for that test to be accurate. So that I would first rule those things out. Even if you come up negative on the celiac, you know, immune test, that does not necessarily mean, okay, oh, you can go gangbusters on gluten. You know, you may be fine, but you still may have a sensitivity. So first is to rule out other health issues. Second, then I strongly recommend doing, and there's physicians out there, integrative physicians. In Vancouver, there's the Connect Healthcare Center, which is wonderful, and there's other healthcare centers, Key Integrated, and a few others that are fantastic, that have professionals who can help you with an elimination diet and help you through that, or they have groups to help you. I loved Natasha Turner's book. I recommend that book. It's a wonderful book. It walks you through a very simple elimination diet. She's written also the Supercharged Hormone Diet, which is pretty much the same concept, as well as the Carb-Sensitive Person book. So going through some sort of elimination diet program where you can figure out what you can eat and what your body seems to have issues with. And then once you figure out what you can eat, this is where my book comes in, because my book does not guide people about figuring out what foods to eat or not. My book says, okay, whatever you eat, whatever you can eat, I got recipes for you, and I've got this whole chart in the back, you know, with all those, you know, different categories, which recipes, in addition to being, they're all free of gluten and dairy and, you know, all animal products and sugar, but also which ones are corn-free, which ones are soy-free, which ones are nightshade-free, blah, blah, blah. Then you say, okay, well, what can I eat? What are the options? And then you can get excited about delicious things that your body likes, that you like, and that you can move from there. So that focusing, you talked about mindset earlier, of shifting your mindset from what can't I do? You know, how am I a victim, basically? What am I having to deprive myself of? Shift it from that to what can I do? and what is delicious out there, and what are things that maybe I've never thought of trying before that might just be mind-blowingly delicious. And so it's like, okay, can I go, maybe I'll travel to another country idea, only it's traveling with regard to your culinary adventures, you know. It's, you know, what else can I try that's new and different? I like to hold people's hand, I hold their hand so that it's really easy to make these new discoveries and exploration, and it doesn't have to be hard. In fact, I mean, in this book, I limit it to recipes that a 12-year-old could make. If someone had to be older than 12 to make it, then I did not include it in this book. So it can be easy, it can be delicious, and it doesn't matter if your body says that it has special needs. You can still live a delicious life.
I love that message because it's very inspiring. And again, it really reduces the seeming threat from making these changes and opening up to embrace more wellness. And I thank you again for that incredible message and that knowledge of what we can be struggling with, so that people can, the more aware we are, is the more power we have to create change. So thank you, Teresa. So just for the listeners out there, you can find out more about Teresa and her incredible, yummy, healthy cooking book, www.yum, that's Y-U-M, foodforliving.com. That's yumfoodforliving.com. It's in the link below in the message board, so you can always click on it and to find out more. And right now, through September 20th, Yum is available for pre-order at a special early bird discount, 25%, and 30% for orders of 20 or more books, and it will be delivered in September. So, sounds amazing. Thank you so much, Teresa, for gracing us today with your presence, your story, your inspiration, and your exciting work in terms of helping us, enabling us to create a really happy, healthy, yummy life.
I love that. You are so sweet. Yeah, and the other thing I should mention is that if anybody's in the Vancouver area on September 19th, you will want to come too. There's going to be a big launch party. It's totally free. There will be yummy treats there that will be from the cookbook, but also there's going to be nonprofit organizations there and other organizations with their fun things. There's going to be crafts for kids. There's going to be door prizes, and it's going to be at the end. It's from 2:30 to 5:30. And at the end, if anybody wants to stay, we're going to have a dance lesson and a whole dance party. It's either going to be Latin funk with Gustavo, or it's going to be a disco dance lesson with Ali Alejandra Aguiare, who's just super fun. And so it'll be a great time. And again, you can bring your friends, family. If you know anybody in Vancouver, tell them to drop by. It's going to be at 1550 West 33rd Avenue in Vancouver at Shaughnessy Heights United Church.
Okay, well, thank you so much, for Teresa, for gracing us today again. Have a lovely day, and thanks again. Yumfoodforliving.com.
Thank you so much, Nicola, for having me.
Many blessings. So we now understand and have learned from Teresa some really wonderful insights about the relationship between our diet and our possible health concerns. And great news in all of this is that the more aware we are, is the more we can become empowered to create the changes in our life just through these simple changes. So great for everyone to just become more aware, pay more attention, and harness this incredible power that we have. This is Dr. Nicola Bird, and to get more insights into how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, welllifenetwork.com, and check out my mailing list and incredible experts. We'll get tips and tools for creating the amazing life that you deserve. And keep in mind that sometimes you really do need to go out on that limb to achieve the happy, healthy, and successful life you deserve. I'm Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.